Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council meeting this July 14th, 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Therrien?
Present.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor Bruce?
Here. If you're able to, please rise for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
This council meets to serve the Fairbanks community, to represent its residents fairly, and to use city resources wisely. May we be reminded of the responsibilities that we carry as public officials and hold ourselves accountable to the citizens we serve. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Sanders, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Do you have any ceremonial matters this evening?
No, we do not.
Moving on to citizens' comments, oral communications to the City Council on any item pertaining to city business that is not up for public hearing. The total comment period is 30 minutes and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway or must have signed up in advance using the procedures for providing online testimony found at the city's website. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
First up is Mr. Jomo Stewart. Jomo, please give your name for the record and you'll be given 3 minutes.
Okay. Good evening, Jomo Stewart. I live in Stewart. I live in Taku Westgate, and happy Bastille Day, everyone. So, I just wanted to come and give a brief FEDC update, let you know some of the things we've been up to. Right at the top, I brought everyone a copy of the 2025 update of the community's comprehensive economic development strategy. Again, we're supposed to, it's a five-year strategy, but we're supposed to look at it every year to make sure it remains fresh. This year, FEDC, for the first time, in a long time, actually led the process of creating the SEDS. Rather than simply acting in support of the borough with their consultant, we were actually tasked with retaining the consultant and guiding the process. It was remarkable. I'd like to give special thanks to Agnew Beck, and then, of course, to the residents who participated robustly this year. It was a little bit of a truncated process last year. It was a very robust process this year, and I think it'll lay really good, solid groundwork for when we move in either next year or the year after into the large drafting process for the five-year SEDS. And so again, special thanks to everybody and enjoy the read. Do a little brief ARDR update. I'm happy to report that we did receive a vote of support from the FNSB Assembly. So that's 9 out of 10. They considered it, I believe, 2 weeks ago. So we have been awaiting. We did request a resolution of support from the 10 our chiefs conference, and so we are going to await that. And then finally, just to let everyone know that the Alaska Defense Forum is coming up, the 2025 Alaska Defense Forum. It's going to be the last week of August, and so it's August. The event proper will be August 26th and 27th. So again, that's Tuesday, August 26th and Wednesday, August 27th. This year, it will be held at 8-Star Event Center. We're in the process of advancing the organization and the fundraising. So if you'd like to attend, you know, make sure you go hop on the website. You can just Google Alaska Defense Forum, and you can find the website where you can register. If your business would like to be a sponsor, we'd love, really appreciate it. Just give us a call. We're also going to be doing tours, as we have done in past years, on the preceding Monday. The tours that are on schedule this year, hopefully everything comes together. We're doing a bit of a space theme this year, so we'll be going, there'll be one tour that will tour Clear Air Force Station. There will be a tour that tours Poker Flats Launch Facility. But something special this year, and this is near and dear to my heart, we're trying to pull together a local business tour. We bring in all these big wigs from D.C., all this brass and these high-level civilian DOD types, and so I thought it'd be nice if we could actually show off the things that our business community could be doing, are doing, for the military and the installations here in the interior. Places like ESI, Omni Logistics, Pan Alaska, Apocalypse Design, and Alaska Gear. So we're hoping to pull that together again for these incoming visitors, not just show off our town, but what our town can do. That's what I have.
Are there any questions for Mr. Stewart? Ms. Sprinkle?
Jomo, from, you know, haven't read it, is there any big takeaway on this that I should look for?
Oh, there's lots.
Highlights or
There's lots. And actually, there's some things that are not in there that came out of these discussions. They're good. I mean, they're good recommendations, and so we now have them embargoed for when we do the larger five-year process. So, you know, really the time horizon for a SEDS update is about 12 to 18 months. So, you know, it's again, new things, tweaks. But there were some pretty major ones that might be opportunities for our town that were recommended that we're hoping, you know, and we'll be baking into the new SEDS. So, again, I'm sorry. I sat through... Of the 14 roundtables, I believe I participated in 12. And frankly, there was just so much good information out of all of them. One thing that particularly stood out to me is when we sat in on the healthcare roundtable. Now, the roundtable proper was not heavily attended. We did get participation from the hospital. We did get participation from the senior community, the senior center. But we got participation actually from the head nurse for the FNSB. And if you look at the SEDS, there had never been a comment relative to the healthcare capacity of our schools. And so that was a very enlightening conversation. In very simplest terms, they're understaffed. They're under capacity. They're understaffed. And it's something that, again, is one more of those things that we should take a look at. It's one of the reasons you have this kind of process is to put things on the radar screen that might otherwise not have been there so that we can work on them as a community. And that is just one example that jumped out to me, because that was the first time that I could recall that we actually had participation from the school district. And then we did, of course, have a follow-up meeting with a broader slice of the healthcare community. Kudos to the hospital, which has been convening their own groups and roundtables where they get together, where it's not just the hospital, but also a lot of the independent providers. So they're talking more on a systemic basis as opposed to just individual institutions. And it's good that they're having those conversations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
So what length of time are you participating that the Tano Chiefs are going to take to do the final leg on the order?
I'm going to get in trouble.
Get in trouble.
Okay. My board, we now have 9 of the 10 requested resolutions. And in fact, we have all the resolutions we need for a complete application to the state. And so I have been doing reach outs. I don't want to rush TCC in their considerations. And the reality is we can always send their resolution, hopefully it will be positive, whether it's positive or negative, I'm going to send it to the state as a supplemental. But my board would like me, my executive committee would like me to go ahead and have that application submitted by July 31st, by the end of the month, to at least start the process. Yes, sir.
Any other aspects for Mr. Stewart? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Next up is Victor Buberge. Mr. Buberge, please state your name for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Victor Buberge. My name and address and phone and everything is on file. Today, I'm going to pretty much read some stuff that a friend wrote out for me to come mention to the council today. And they said the mayor would know what it's about. And it's kind of, I guess, they changed the ordinance or something for trespassing law or nuisance law at the stores. And I'll kind of read kind of what they wrote is some nights, not all workers feel unsafe. And they're talking about it here right now. It's Safeway Market. One door open at night, Bentley Mall only has security only in the day by manager for Bentley grounds. You know, something Ed Willis is the manager for Bentley. Then he gives his phone number. You know, out of state or outside Safeway at night has one door to enter and exit, so some of the derelicts sit and hang out there at the building to have someone go buy booze, you know. Then it says, David Prues changed our ordinance from 1 year off property to 30 days. You know, so this person is saying, please change that law or ordinance back, you know, because they spend a lot of money at, you know, Safeway and Fred Meyer's and Walmart, you know. So I'm not real totally familiar, but I think it's, you know, part along with that bill that, you know, if the shoplifters go steal $900 worth of stuff or less, then, hey, just send them home. You know, maybe give them a little ticket, but nothing really ever happens, and it almost makes me want to go do that, you know. If nothing's really going to happen, maybe I better go down to the store and give me $900 worth of steaks or something. But, you know, it's like I'm saying, I'm not real knowledgeable about what this is, but they said the mayor knows what it is, and they'd like you to change it back to keep the derelicts and stuff off the property for a year instead of just 30 days. So I appreciate you do or whatever you can do to maybe help those people that mentioned this to talk to you guys about it. So anyway, have a good time and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Mr. Burbage, I have no idea what you are talking about there, but please have the people call me directly. I have no idea.
I'll mention that, and yeah. I think I'll see him again tomorrow, so
yes, please.
I'll tell him to call you directly, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And thank you. Okay, thank you. What happened?
At our next meeting, we're going to have a total report on our lighting plan. I saw you sitting there going, we better get the lighting plan for Victor. We're going in. Daylight savings is diminishing. We need to make sure our lights are on, and thank you for keeping on that. And at our next meeting, our city engineer will give a lighting report plan because it's important.
I think they told me that light works now, but it ain't ever dark, so I can't tell.
Now it's gonna go out by September 1st. Don't worry.
Okay, now I am mad because nobody invited me down for that opening of the new toilet.
We have not done the name dedication to you yet, but when we do, Burbage's bathroom will be dedicated.
Hey, thank you. You guys keep up the good work.
That's all the names I have on the list. Is there anyone signed up online, Madam Clerk?
No, sir.
Is there anyone in the docket here who wants to come up and make a public comment for 3 minutes at items not on the agenda? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Madam Clerk.
We are at approval of the agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Mr. Ringstead, is there a second? Ms. Therrien. Does any council member wish to pull anything from the agenda? Mr. Marney?
I would like to pull 12A, please.
Okay. Ms. Sprinkle? 12D?
G.
Is there anything else? Okay, is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Seeing none, it's amended, adopted. Madam Clerk.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of June 9th and June 23rd, 2025. It also it approved resolution number 5180, a resolution authorizing additional matching funds for the Cowell Street Reconstruction Project, amendment number 4, introduced by Mayor Prus. It approved resolution number 5181, a resolution approving amendment number 1 to the maintenance agreement with the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the landscaping addition to the Cowell Street Reconstruction Project, introduced by Mayor Prus. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6318, an ordinance authorizing the lease of Golden Heart Plaza to Festival Fairbanks, introduced by Mayor Prus. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6319, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Section 2-119, Order of Business, Citizens Addressing the City Council, and Section 2-120, Rules of Procedure, introduced by Mayor Prus. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6320, An ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 2, Article 3, Boards and Commissions, to change the composition of the Board of Plumber Examiners and to remove the requirement that the City Council must confirm the election of the chair, introduced by Mayor Prus. It also accepted the Historic Preservation Commission meeting minutes of March 4th, 2025, the Board of Plumber Examiner meeting minutes of March 18th, 2025, the Fairbanks Diversity Council meeting minutes of May 13th, 2025, and the Clay Street Cemetery Commission meeting minutes of June 4th, 2025. Returning to the general agenda, top of page 2, special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. It's for license number 4504, The Venue, and license number 5950, House of Fire Pizza.
Is there a motion to waive protest on the alcohol liquor license renewal applications? Mr. Marty, is there a second? Ms. Sprinkle? Is there any citizen wishing to speak on these alcohol license renewal applications? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes. State your name and area of residence if you'd like to come forward. Isaiah, you want to say anything?
Do I need to?
No, but you're here in case there's questions. That's good to see, sir. Okay. Any other public testimony you wanting? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council.
Question.
Certainly.
I thought the Venue moved over to 3rd Avenue.
Yes. This is not that portion yet. That's okay. Still going. This is their renewal of their license. Okay. It's in the process of being at the state, then it comes to us. Okay. Welcome to liquor licenses again. Any other comments? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll? Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm not refuting anything. House of Fire Pizza, it's open again, is that right? Is it operational? Weren't they under some sort of rehab because of a fire?
I was driving by there yesterday. I can't say for yes or for sure. They did have a fire in there.
It's just, okay, I just wanted to know the health of the business is all. Great.
It's open.
Okay.
Okay, good. Great news. Thank you.
Any other questions, thoughts, discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
We're at Mayor's comments and report.
I have no comments or reports tonight. Madam Clerk? Mr. Marnie.
I'll defer to the second round, please.
Ms. Therrien.
We respectfully acknowledge the Dene people upon whose traditional lands we reside. We honor the Dene who have been the stewards of interior lands and waters for centuries. The elders who lived here before, the Dene people of today, and future generations to come. We also recognize that Alaska Native people would traditionally gather here and harvest Native foods. And I just had a question about Resolution 5181. Have the Gavoras decided one way or the other if they're going to agree with the landscaping?
Well, we do not know that yet.
Okay.
They were meeting this weekend about it. Today's Monday. I don't think we've had our engineer meet with them yet, so we'll be finding that out.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Clearworth?
Nothing at this time.
Ms. Sprinkle? Mr. Ringstad?
A couple of things. I had the dubious pleasure of needing the services of some of our people, and I would like to give a couple of thanks to when calling 911. Jackie Conrad and Kaylee Sparks were the ones that took the calls as somebody was wailing upon my head, and did their job, did it quickly. And Chris Zenich and Sean Lee were there within 2 minutes. And I appreciate their efforts and what they did for the city, and just wanted to acknowledge what they did.
Ms.
Second, the second
oh, go
thing,
ahead, sir.
On a lighter note, our bike paths. I saw somebody, I was coming across, going south on toward, across the river toward Barnett, and I saw somebody in the bike path lane coming into bike, and I thought, oh, well, okay, I've seen somebody on it. Before he got to Airport Road, he ran three red lights.
Mr. Ringstead, on a lighter note, since I've known you since the day I was born, what happened to your head this time?
I hit a beam that was lower than I thought it was. Yeah, it just took a little hunk of skin up there. And I don't have any insulation, you know. It's all cool. Now I just take skin off every time
just,
I do it.
You're a guiding light to your grandkids, I know. You can take it and you can dish it.
I think it's a new image.
Yeah. Ms. Tidwell.
Toughen up my image a little.
Oh, I'll wait. Good.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
We are at unfinished business. The first item is ordinance number 6316, an ordinance establishing a paramedic recruitment bonus program introduced by Mayor Prews and Councilmember Tidwell. This is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance 6316? By Ms. Tidwell, is there a second? By Ms. Therrien. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on ordinance 6316? If so, please come forward, state your name for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Chief, why don't you come on up? This is going to be dealing with you. We had a very good discussion on this at our work session. Council, any questions before we go on to a vote? Certainly. Statement, yes.
Well, I was sitting on the fence on this ordinance, and I just happened to do, I try to get around to each department once a week. And the chief had a stat that astounded me about our success rate saving lives. And so I would like him to explain what he explained to me, if he could, please, shortly.
Shortly. You know me so well, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Marty. Thank you, Council, Mr. Mayor. So when Mr. Marty was over at the fire station, we were talking about several different topics, and paramedics came up, of course. So for this current year, people that have went into cardiac arrest, we've successfully gotten a pulse back 83% of the time. So all but one of our cardiac arrests so far this year, we've gotten a pulse back on, and that is the first step to long-term survival. Overall, since I've worked here, 36% of those people have went home neurologically intact, and that's huge. That's an amazing number. But 83% is outstanding, probably one of the best in the nation, and I'm very proud of that.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Not doubting anything. I just wonder, do paramedics, are they the only ones who would help in situations like that, or would EMTs also?
There are also EMTs on scene, but the paramedic gives us that advanced level of care, the highest level available in any state anywhere. And these numbers are not realized in places without paramedics. So I think it's a huge part.
Any other questions? Ms. Therrien. Certainly. Any other? Mr. Marty again, then Mr. Cleworth.
Well, I'll finish off that, you know, knowing that is available for the citizens of Fairbanks, especially family and friends, I think we need to achieve that. We need to, you know, pass this ordinance. I think, you know, it's dead at the end of the year, and if we don't find success, we haven't lost anything. But if we do, we've gained a lot.
Couldn't agree more.
Mr. Cleworth and Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, I apologize. I'm going to probably be on the other side of this one. Here are the facts as I know them, or as we know them. We have 17 paramedics in our fire department. We have 11 advanced EMTs. That's a total of 28 individuals who have the two highest levels of care that we can provide in our community. A lot of resources have been put into getting those numbers. We have three ambulances. If it is mandated that we have a paramedic in each one, that means that We need three on a shift. We have three shifts. That's a total of 9. And we have 17 available. So if somebody's on vacation, sick, or whatever, we should, in theory, have somebody there to take their place. And so what I'm saying to you is we have, I believe, a logistical problem, not a manning problem at all. I took some time to look around and talk to the borough. I talked to Mr. Miller over at the borough, and I was curious as to how in the borough, in the service areas, what are their minimum requirements for care. It's an EMT-2. Some departments have EMT-3s. Not many have advanced EMTs, and virtually none have paramedics. And they have to travel a much greater distance usually than we do inside the city limits. I just found that rather interesting. Then I called the University Fire Department. In some degrees, we kind of compete with them because recently we've lost some of the contractual areas that we had outside the city limits to the university. They have 2 ambulances staffed by EMT-3s. EMT-3 is a level below an advanced EMT. On some occasions, they have advanced EMTs. On rare occasions, do they have a paramedic? And they're just 4 miles away from us. So we are way ahead of them as far as having the advanced EMTs and the paramedics. Like I say, we have 28 people. So you get into logistics, and the chief can explain it to you, why we can't utilize all the resources that we have. And that, to me, is the crux of this problem. It isn't a matter of us not having enough. It is the ability to legally use them and to do it without causing a whole bunch of overtime. I use the police department as an example. If we have an emergency happening out there on the streets that we need more manning, the sergeant can leave the building and go and respond. You're not going to replace that person with another one on overtime immediately because your contract demands you to do that. If that's not enough, you can send out a lieutenant. If it's during the day, you can send out a captain or an assistant chief, whoever. But they're available to be used. We don't have that luxury in the fire department. And Chief, nod your head if I got this right. If we have a captain who's a paramedic and we need a paramedic, and we use that individual on an ambulance, and we have to hire another captain immediately, right?
Not currently, since the council added a 4th captain to each platoon. There could be a scenario where we would not have to hire an overtime captain to fill that position.
But you have to fill that position.
Not in a captain situation, not necessarily. The council made a very strategically smart move and added that 4th captain. We need 3. We have an extra captain, well, I won't say extra, but we have a 4th captain each day. So if we move a captain, that floater captain, if you will, can move into that position and not cause overtime.
So we can use it, but if we don't have that floater captain, and that captain is a paramedic, we cannot use that individual unless we call somebody else in on overtime, right?
If you've already utilized your extra 4th captain, then in theory you would have to do that, but that would be a very high cost per hour to use a battalion chief captain or an engineer in a paramedic spot. We're trying to recruit firefighter paramedics that will keep your dollar cost down to the minimum as best we can. That's the whole point of this.
It's the point is to reduce our dollar costs because we can't always utilize the staff that we have. As you said before, we promote them to a level where they're not immediately available anymore. So,
I'm not sure if that was a question or not, so I'm going to stay out of that one unless there's a question.
I mean, it really comes down to simple math. We have invested heavily in the resources. We have 28 individuals who are eminently qualified to run these ambulances. And to say that we're running short, to me, I think is very misleading to the general public. It puzzles me because it's just a contractual, logistical problem. And what we're doing to solve that problem is typical with government that I've seen, and we throw money at it. So anyway, I'll leave it there. I'm just frustrated with that system. We don't follow that in other departments, but we do in the fire department. So.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, I was going to ask
my name to put on this.
Go ahead. Looking at this, to fill in some blanks. First of all, this ordinance is sunsets on December 31st, 2025. We are in the process of looking to hire 9 people. I don't want to call it firemen. It's more emergency service personnel. From that 9 that we went out for, we interviewed 34 people and chose 4. So we still have 5 to hire. This program is looking to grab the highest qualified person that has a license and give them a bonus of $20,000, which is paid for internally from salary savings. It's only for another 5 and a half months. It turns out. It's allowing us to see what we can do in a short period of time, see if we can get anyone. That's what it does. Mr. Ringstead.
I'm kind of mixed on this. I appreciate trying to get people in the next few months to get up to where we budgeted for last year and get it up to that level. But it seems to me there's a point, and Chief has talked about this at our levels. I mean, clearly we're doing very well with what we have. I would hope that with Margarita's new target-based budgeting, we're going to get into here's our base cost. In that decision of what is our baseline cost for our basic services, we should have some discussion about what level of service in our departments do we want. We can always have a higher level. We're at a pretty high level now, I think, in your department. But I think, you know, if we're going to say this is our baseline, have we ever stopped to have a discussion, or when was the last time the council had a discussion about what level of service does the council expect? You know, do we have to be the best in the nation? Do we want to be good for a town our size? We don't want to be doing nothing, but I have not seen or heard any discussion about what level of service we expect. And in doing this, I mean, I almost feel like we're getting a cart before the horse. It's a short string, you know, for 5 months, but as opposed to a permanent program, which makes me feel better about it. But I think we need to have some discussion and say, what is it, what level, what do we want? And we've brought up several ideas. I know Jerry's worked on this a bunch about what do we need? What do we really need to provide the level that we want? And we haven't even, in my mind, discussed what level we want. So I'm kind of mixed on that.
Any other discussion? Ms. Therrien.
How much time do you think it's going to take to find the 5 other people that we put in the budget when we put in 9?
So we are currently have these positions posted. We're actively recruiting people as we speak. I think Jay can probably help me on exactly when that closes. I don't remember off the top of my head. Then, you know, during this process, we're going to be doing interviews. Then hopefully we'll hire them depending on where they start their journey from. We'll give them a lead time to move here if that's applicable. And then we'll get them through our initial academy training and then work with our medical director and other staff to get them on the highway.
Do you think that can be accomplished by December 31st of this year?
My hopes is to have them almost through all of that training by January. So they should start affecting the 26 budget almost immediately once we hit that time frame.
Okay. Do you think it's maybe a good idea to add another 6 months to the sunset provision?
I think that'll be good. I know we're using salary savings, so we don't know. I think Margarita would probably say that we don't know what that salary savings would look like in the future. I think this is our big push to try to find paramedics now. And if not, I would definitely feel comfortable coming back to the council after the budgeting cycle into January to see if we can reinstate a program similar to this if we found success. I think that would be a great move, but I don't want us to use funds that we may not have available as we have started to fill these positions in the fire department. I don't know what that number would look like, but it's a simple conversation to come back and ask for the council's guidance and ability to start this back up if we find paramedics like we hope to.
Mayor, I'm just concerned. We get near December, we want to hire people, but the funding for the bonus is gonna be eliminated on December 31st.
Ms. Therrien, I think we should leave the budgeting for 2026 and 2026. Keep this at 2025. Ms. Tidwell.
I wondered if you knew how many of the people that have showed interest in this round are paramedics.
At this time, the posting has been up since the beginning of the month. It's expected to close, I believe, in the middle of August, but I can always push it if I need to. At this time, you have zero paramedic applicants, zero advanced EMT applicants, and the six applicants that you have, I believe, are all EMT ones. I don't believe I saw anything more advanced than that.
Mr. Marney.
Well, I'm going to be corny here. But what's a life worth?
Couldn't say it better myself. Those people deserve the best.
Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, you can use that statement with police and with anything else, but in the end, we have a budget too. Any salary savings we have in any budget goes to the bottom line at the city, and it's the only source of real revenue we have for capital at the end of the year. You saw our capital budget this year when we adopted it in the fire department. We had $0 for equipment. $0. And so you can spend it. You can spend it on bonuses or whatever. I'm telling you, we provide the highest level of care in the borough and probably compared to most any other department in the nation. It all are paramedics and advanced EMTs, the two highest levels that we have. That's an incredible coverage for this city. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on Ordinance 6316?
Mr. Marney?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
No.
Mr. Cleworth?
No.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ordinance 6316 passes by a vote of 4-2. Madam Clerk.
All right, item B of unfinished business, Ordinance number 6317, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Chapter 22 elections, introduced by Councilmember Cleworth and Mayor Prus, second reading and public hearing.
Okay, Council, do I have a motion to adopt Ordinance 6317 by Ms. Sprinkle? Is there a second? By Mr. Marney, we have a amended version, proposed substitute. Do we want to insert the proposed substitute? Ms. Therrien.
I move that we provide the proposed substitute to be introduced at the meeting.
Is there a second? By Ms. Sprinkle. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on Ordinance 6317 as amended? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Mr. Cleworth, or should I say, Madam Clerk?
Yeah, I thank Danny for all her work on this. As I said before, it took me a while to read through it and try to stay awake on it because it's pretty technical.
You beat me, I fell asleep.
Made a few changes. One was if we send out ballots and a witness is required to sign it, we also require that they have in printed form their name as well. So if you ever got in a position, and I doubt that it happens hardly ever, for the clerk's office to verify a witness, there's no way to do it with most people's signatures. So it's, we ask, have asked for it in the past that they have a printed version of their name, but it wasn't mandatory. So this does make it mandatory, which is a very minor change in the whole document itself. And then on poll watchers, I think was the only other one that we changed on that, so that in the original version it said they had to be a city resident, but some of the ballot issues and things that we have here have more of a borough presence also. And I just felt that if they're a borough resident, they should be allowed to be a poll watcher.
That was in the city.
In the city, yeah.
You know, overall, sometimes I look at something and I say to myself, when did Danny have the time to do this? And but she finds it. She saw a hole that needed to be filled, something needed to be updated. And Danny, I thank you for taking the time and effort and going through this, and Mr. Cleworth on for your very good and thorough review. Are there any other questions or discussion? Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, I too want to thank Danny, because this is a real big job and I take elections very seriously. And I love that you also partnered with April Trickey at the borough to make sure that this talked well to each other. So I think that was really, really important. And it made me feel very good. Thank you.
Was there any objection to the proposed substitute? I jumped the gun here. Seeing none, we'll, okay. That was our clerk. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 6317 as amended, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ordinance number 6317 as amended passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
The first item pulled of new business is resolution number 5179, a resolution amending the city's schedule of fees and charges for services by adjusting fees for consumer price index or CPI changes, introduced by Mayor Pruse.
Ms. Sprinkle, you pulled this one? No, or that was Mr. Rings, Mr. Marnie did?
We just need a motion first.
Okay, is there a motion to advance, to approve resolution 5179? By Ms. Tidwell, is there a second? By Ms. Therrien? And discussion, Mr. Marnie.
Well, if I may, most of my challenges or proposed fee recommendations affect public works. If I could have Mr. Cotter come up and he would assist me in this.
Mr. Marnie, is there any proposed amendments you'd like to make to this?
Well, I don't want to stretch this out to all evening, but if that's the process, I have 70-161 and 70-162, and then I'll go over to the garbage collection side, and then I'll be done.
Okay, and 70-161, do you propose an amendment to change that $200?
The $210 to $250.
Is there a second on that? Mr. Ringstead, discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on the proposed amendment to 70-161 from $210 to $250?
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Sure.
Ms. Therrien?
No.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The amendment passes by a vote of 5-1. Mr. Marnie, you have 70-62. Is there
62? I want to adjust that from 210 up to 250, please.
Is there a second on that amendment? Mr. Ringstead, is there any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
No on this one.
The amendment passes by a vote of 5-1. Mr. Marnie?
This is where I would like Mr. Carter to get involved. Mm-hmm. The first one is 66-42. improper containment and disposal of household medical waste or sharps. I would like to increase that up to $400.
Is there a second to that amendment? Mr. Ringstead? Mr. Marty, would you give some questions to Mr. Cotter?
You've had experience with this before, and I know I have a real good friend that was a foreman for Public Works for a number of years, and it's very dangerous to pick up boxes or empty bags that have used syringes in them.
It is improperly disposed of, yes.
Can you kind of give a story, please?
Well, the impact that it has on an employee's life after they get stuck with a needle that they don't know what it is pretty traumatic. $200 was, it really didn't say traumatic to me, and you know, $250, it really doesn't say traumatic to the employees. They were looking at this right after it was changed, and they wanted to see it much higher too. And your proposal for $400, I think, is a start in the right direction because of the impact it has on their life and how much they have to go in and get their blood checked, and then of course the worry and everything afterwards, waiting for results and if it does happen or how long it takes before they actually realize what is wrong with them by getting stuck by a needle working.
Mr. Ringstead, then Ms. Sprinkle, then Ms. Tidwell.
Who actually does most of this? Are these medical facilities, commercial stuff, or are most of your incidences private residences?
Yeah, it's from the private residences. Is where the needles in the trash get. This is unacceptable, yes.
This is unacceptable.
Ms. Tidwell, then Ms. Sprinkle.
I have two questions. The first one, if one of our public works people did get stuck with a needle and had to go do blood work, is that something that the city pays for? So there's a cost there?
Yeah.
Second question, if we did raise it to, say, $400, and somebody wasn't able, like didn't pay that, what is our process to collect that fee? A PFD garnishment?
Yeah, if a person doesn't pay, then we have two options. Because this is a part of their garbage billing, it could be a part of a lien. More than likely, they're not paying their other piece, their other bill. Or they could be sent to collections, or we could bring them the small claims, and they could end up getting their PFD garnished.
I have one more follow-up. So if a garbage bill is for a property owner, so that would still be passed on to the property owner if it was a tenant?
That is correct.
Okay.
It would be on the property owner.
Ms. Sprinkle.
You've asked all my questions, so I'm good. Thank you.
And Mr. Marney, then Mr. Clearworth, then Ms. Therrien.
Well, I think Mr. Carter indicated to me that the city provides them a container.
Yes.
Am I truthful?
Yeah, we'll take over a container if they ask us for a container. We have extra plastic containers. It's been a program that was implemented by Jeff a few years ago. And we've collected containers, and every now and then we do kind of like a put something in the trash bill saying that we need more containers, and we put a sticker on them so that it's got Public Works number on it. We'll go and drop it off. They just call us to come pick it up, and we'll go and pick it up. So that's the new program, and it's made it pretty good, and we've lowered the amount of sticks. I mean, I can't tell you how many. I wasn't able to get that number today for this year, but I know that last year we had hardly any. I think it was one.
Mr. Clearworth.
Just to make sure I have this right, this only pertains to needles. The next section, 6642, of that is improper containment or disposal of hazardous waste. Would that be like broken glass?
The hazardous waste is like paints, solvents, stuff that's not...
Excrement.
Yeah.
Okay. What would broken glass come under here?
Broken glass would be just normal trash.
Normal trash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ms. Therrien.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I understood what Margarita said. So let's say we did have a $400 bill. You would just put that on their actual bill?
Yes. This could be billed with their actual garbage billing.
Okay. Because the process of going to court for a $400 bill doesn't even cover the attorney's fees and clerk's costs. But hopefully, if they get a $400 bill, they would maybe not do it again. And my question to you is, Jeremiah, is would the people that are getting pricked be people that are doing illegal drugs as opposed to people are diabetics and are using the needles for that?
That one's hard to determine. I mean, that takes an investigation, and that usually happens right after we know that somebody got stuck so that we can determine, you know, if they are on drugs or if they weren't on drugs, and maybe any medical history we could possibly get to, you know, help alleviate some of the stresses, you know, but it's still stressful because you don't really know.
Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
You know, I never really thought to the disposal of it, but there are times I've walked around walking a dog and I think, oh, I got to pick this thing up. I put it in a city trash bag. And that makes me worried because I never thought it through because I'm just getting rid of the stuff off the street. So I'm saying to you, oh my God.
Yeah, if you call us, if you find something like that on a sidewalk or whatever, you call us with an address, we'll send somebody over to pick it up and dispose of it properly.
I hear you loud and clear. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll to amend item 6642 from $250 to $400?
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The amendment passes by a vote of 5-6-0. Mr. Marnie, any other amendments?
Well, the two underneath, the hazardous waste, I'd like to go from $25 to $100. Likewise, with the containment of disposable of ashes, from $25 to $100.
Let's go 6642, the disposal of hazardous waste first.
Okay.
Is there a second to the amendment from going from $25 and amending $50 to $100? Is there a, by Mr. Ringstead? Discussion? Mr. Marnie.
Mr. Cotter today, evidently, you know, we have to take this to the borough, and you were indicating that there's a special fee or charge for the city to do this?
Yeah, we get charged when we take hazardous waste. It's an extra charge above just the normal tipping fee. If we take hazardous waste, and residents can take it
to the... That's a special cell out there. It's a special cell.
But it's an additional fee.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any idea what that is?
Not off the top of my head. I can get you that information, though.
Ms. Sprinkle?
So if I went to the available open, what do you call it, to the site next to the dump that the city has access to, that has a space for batteries and whatnot. It doesn't have a hazardous waste area, or does it? Can I put paint in a tote that they have set up there?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to pay extra there?
As far as I know.
That's a way to get rid of it for free.
That's what I do.
Okay. Mr. Ringstead.
Am I right? This has been a while. Anybody in the city or in the borough can take their stuff out there if it's hazardous, pay the directly to the borough, I think, at least used to be able to. Or they help you dispose of it out there if you bring it out. Is that still happening?
As far as I know, that if a resident brings something like a battery out there to the borough landfill, they don't get charged for anything. If we bring a battery out there to the landfill, we get charged.
Because you're special.
Any other questions?
On the golf course.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on garbage collection 6642, going from $25 to $100 on improper disposal of hazardous waste?
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
No.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
The amendment passes by a vote of 5-1. Mr. Marnie?
And the last one would be the disposal of ashes. I would like to see that go up to $100 also. And Mr. Carter has a story about that one also.
Is there a second on that? Mr. Ringstead? Let's hear the story, Mr. Carter.
Yeah, the story was a few years back when we had a fire truck almost catch on fire because somebody put their ashes in their trash and it got into the packer and it started smoking. And at that time, we had to eject all the trash out into the middle of the road, of course, to save the packer and get the fire put out.
That sounds like a
fun
Hot
pickup.
Wheels vehicle. Mr. Ringstead.
So we're talking about garbage collection here. Ashes. Do we define ashes? Mm-hmm. Does this cover me when you're done with me?
No.
Lonnie might think I'm garbage, you know?
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on 6642, improper containment disposal of ashes, moving from $25 to $100.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
No.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Klewer?
Yes.
The motion passes by a vote of 5-1. Are there any other amendments to this?
No, sir.
Any further discussion? Ms. Tidwell?
I don't have an amendment, but I just wondered, since you're up here, that next section, those charges for public works, what would that, when do we use that? What is that for?
So you're talking about the public works hourly staff rate?
Yeah.
So when we go out and do stuff like abatements or snow removal or anything like that, we charge for the employees' time, and then, of course, we charge for the equipment.
Okay. So we're changing it from those set prices to actual, it would be like a total package rate for whoever was out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my understanding by saying actual.
Great. Thanks.
Ms. Therrien?
I just had a couple questions with regard to 2-601, with regard to corrective deeds. Are you saying that the applications 125 plus to record it is an extra 125? Because to record a deed is $25 for the first page and $5 for the second page. So I'm a little confused as to those numbers. I'm on administrative. 2-601.
What page is that on, Valerie?
Page one.
It's right in the middle.
Okay, 2-601. Corrective deed. Well, your deed is usually one, if not two pages. So, is there a different number you'd like to see?
That the corrective deed recording fee would be as charged by DNR.
Is there a second to that? By Mr. Marnie. Discussion.
What does that mean?
Well, depending on how many pages a deed could be, it could be quite a bit. So normally the first page is 20. The second page is 5. If there's 6 pages, because there's a lot of legal description, then they would just get charged whatever DNR charges us. And I assume that the 125 is the work of the attorney to correct the deed, but I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All it is. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Actual fee. Can it be actual fee?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. As we had with the...
actual cost or whatever. Yeah, I think the language being used is actual cost.
Ms. Tidwell?
Talking about the line for certified copy?
No, I'm talking about the recording fee. Right now, the fee is $100 and then it says
$125. We're going to lower that down to...
As charged.
It might be more, it might be less. It's whatever the cost to us is, we get reimbursed. Yeah.
Right. And then I have a couple more questions about that after we get this.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
The corrective deed recording fee is approved by a vote of 6-0 to be the actual fees. Ms. Therrien, you had another one.
Yes, so it looks like there's a non-refundable application fee through a corrective deed, and then it looks like there's an actual cost for the professional staff time to do it. And
that doesn't mean we did the mistake.
So why are they
You know, there's many reasons why a D can be corrected.
Are those two different charges?
When I see the corrective deed, there's another department that may be involved in as the engineering department. Mm-hmm. If there's some work that they're doing with the properties, so it may not only be an attorney fee, but there may be an engineering fee associated with any research or filing of a corrective deed. And that has been my only involvement with deeds was with the engineering department.
And have we had any where we had to do a corrective deed?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Usually corrective deeds aren't done by legal description. It's because they find an error from 20 years ago that was not named, so they have to go and get that person off the title. Anyway, any other discussion on that? Okay, back to the main resolution. Any discussion on the amended version? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on resolution 5179?
Mayor, before I do that, may I ask for clarification on something? On Mr. Marnie's previous amendments that were both approved for the 70-161 and 162, did you want the fee to just be 250, or did you want it to be 250 or actual cost, whichever is higher, as it's written now? Okay, we'll keep that then. Okay, thank you. And now I can call the roll on the main motion?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Amended resolution 5179 passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Clerk?
The second pulled item of new business is ordinance number 6321, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Chapter 2, Article 5, Division 3, Budget by enacting Section 2-659 Capital Projects Fund Preparation and Presentation to City Council and requiring a minimum fund balance for the City Capital Projects Fund, introduced by Mayor Cleworth, Councilmember Cleworth.
Is there a motion to advance ordinance 6321? By Mr. Marnie, second by Mr. Ringstead. Ms. Sprinkle, you pulled this one?
I did, because I feel like what we talked about last work session, I think it was, we had a policy, and at that policy we had it approved here at this body. And now we want to change it to an ordinance, which again, it firms everything up so that the ability to fix something that might be, I would see it as an emergency. If we go below 10 million in our general, and then now we're faced with something that we need to go, we have to fund through capital, and we go below the five, we would be breaking our own law. So, you know, I hope we never see that. But I'm concerned that if we don't have a little lever, a pressure point that lets us negotiate it, that worries me. And then I know that Tom had said, our attorney, well, you can just change the ordinance. Well, then what does it do? Why have it? I guess I'm just, flexibility or the inflexibility worries me in this situation. Although I appreciate where Jerry is coming from. I was happy about the policy, but I know that he likes to solidify numbers, and I respect that. I just, this one worries me.
Mr. Clayworth and Ms. Therrien.
Yeah, thank you, Sue, for the comments. A little history on resolutions. Many years ago, DOT, when there was pre-FMATS or fast planning, when they would get federal monies and do a road inside the city, they always picked the roads that they maintained. And they did it with a caveat that once they fixed their road, if they're going to do this project inside the city, then the city has to assume that road. Trainer Gate's an example, Aurora Drive is another, Illinois Street. And so we adopt that as a council of resolution to say, we will never do that again. We're not going to take any more state funded roads inside the city limits. And it passed unanimously, and years went by. Then we had a mayor who, when Illinois Street came up, went ahead and signed an agreement again to take over Illinois Street after the fact. And I wasn't on council then. I came in, I testified, I said, you have a resolution pertaining to this, and people didn't remember it. So resolutions are not codified. They're only as good as long enough as somebody here or an employee remembers that they exist. That's my experience with resolutions. So if you codify them, at least they're there in code. And that is correct. In two meetings, you can change your code. This number on here, I think, is really conservative. Our current fund balance, even though we have tapped into capital a lot this year, the general, for the projects that we've had, change orders and opportunities to do projects this summer instead of waiting to next summer so we can get money back from fast planning, we're still well above $5 million. This is a reserve of only $4 million, which is actually less than the policy and the resolution. You have to have some kind of a safety threshold to be able to handle the emergencies that we could face. We as a council, we talk about planning, and over the years we spent a lot of time looking at planning. The $10 million in the general fund came because of planning, looking at cash flow problems that we had, and trying to protect it so that when we do a payroll, we never have to say to the employees, we didn't have any money. We know we have that money, and we can pay that payroll. With a capital fund, if we have, like I used a flood at one time, but an earthquake type of an emergency, like Anchorage has experienced, and their roads collapsed during some of the earthquakes they've had in the last 10, 15 years, you have the ability to get out there. You've got the money to go do something now. But you need to replenish that with time goes by. One other item. We also have in the general fund reserve $200,000 for emergency snow removal. That's codified. That was the result of a committee that the city council formed after the disastrous snowfalls in, what was it, 1991 or something like that. We got so far behind that flooding was imminent in all parts of the city. If spring came in the middle of April, it was a late spring. We were very concerned about that, so we contracted out various areas of the city to
private entities to make sure that that did not happen. And then we didn't have much money to do that with. So we made sure through a codified ordinance that in the future we would always have enough to take care of that emergency. But there could be a host of emergencies that we have that it's so important that we have some funds available. And that's why I like the strength of an ordinance rather than a resolution, because resolutions get forgotten.
Ms. Thurian.
I just wanted to point out that on the top of page 2 of the ordinance, if an emergency causes the fund to be less than the minimum balance, we have to replenish it within 12 months. And I think that should help Ms. Sprinkle's concerns there. Though where we get the money to do that would be in the budget. But.
Mr. Ringstead, then Ms. Sprinkle.
Just to kind of be clear what we're saying here, I look at this fourth, whereas it says total cost has gone up $1.7 million. Our required match increased about $15,000. The next one talks about how much we paid, how much we've committed, and what we're providing to the balance for the capital and grant fund. Is that a two? I'm not even sure if that's one fund or two. I think the bottom line here is we're increasing our match $115,000. If that's what the cost of that fourth whereas says, our match increased $115,000. Is that correct?
Are you
which one am I on?
You're on 5128.
I'm on 5180.
We're on 6321.
Oh, well, no wonder I can't figure it out. Jeez Louise.
It's that head wound. It's the head wound.
That's right.
6321? Uh-huh. Oh, no wonder I wasn't following. Okay, I got to come up with a better question than that one. Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Gosh, Finance Committee, help me remember where it was in what that said during emergencies, money could be spent for emergencies. I can't remember where that, we looked through a list. It was written on the, where was that?
That was under the sales tax count. The mill levy calculation, where emergencies can become a part of our calculation when we do the mill levy.
So I'm split on this. I get where you're going. I just felt like we had that as a safety factor that we found to be useful in finance, but all my counselors weren't there. So I'm just a little uncomfortable with this hard and fast number, and I probably will vote no, but I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate where you're coming from on this.
Council, what I want you to think about is lanes you create in our budgetary process. This creates a boundary. Most of your capital project money is expended during your budget when you review it. Last year, we approved $8 million, and we had $6 million left in available estimated capital balance. That's when you're going to see it. This puts a parameter on what you want to do, what we can do. Puts a parameter of what I can give you, because only you, the council, can go outside that parameter. So it really gives the mayor very good guidance of where to stay in the boundaries at. That's why I like this. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for advancement of Ordinance 6321?
Mr. Marney?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
No.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ordinance 6321 advances by a vote of 5-1. Madam Clerk.
We are done with new business. Moving on to committee reports and council member comments.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, we did a lot of hard work on the schedule fees, and I think these are useful. They're very good for
members of our city by doing the things that we do, but I'm concerned about things like snow removal or regular things. It's only as good as the person that we do. I'm just leaving it there. Like we always do. I look forward to seeing how this
Ms. Therrien.
Yes, I just want to announce that Ms. Sprinkle, Mr. Ringstead, myself, and Jeremiah Cotter got to play golf representing the city in our banana shirts, except John forgot his.
Did you win?
We came in 13th out of 22.
Out of how many teams?
Out of 22 teams.
We looked good. We got best notice for our
Yes.
I want to hear some real sucking up to Miss Tidwell in them shirts. Yeah.
And then John got longest drive because he got to hit off the senior tees, which is where the women hit. Yeah.
Anything else, Miss Therrien?
I was just wondering, is anybody going to the AML meetings in August? I think they're in Utopia.
I'm not going.
Okay. Do we have any money left in the budget to do that, or?
Let me see. Let me huddle.
Okay.
With Ms. Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, we'll give you the balances, and what you might want to do is put together a cost.
Yeah.
And I've been. Not traveling, I think in my budget I can contribute some to it if you want to go to it. But I'm going to tell you what they told us at the AML in February. Bring some food.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Clearworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one thing. And I don't like to get into national politics at all, and it doesn't really matter if you love the big, beautiful bill or hated the thing. One provision in there that the Congressman Begich got in was a change in the formula on resource extraction. I never thought in my lifetime I would see that. When we became a state, it was supposed to be a 90-10 distribution. And when they did the pipeline, they negotiated away a lot of that, which was, I think, a mistake. But they had to do what they had to do to get 51 votes through the Senate. And it was Spiro Agnew, of all people, who cast the deciding vote to get the pipeline here. But in the future, that could bode very well for the state of Alaska's financial picture and ours with revenue sharing and other things. So.
The new formula?
Was it 70-40? Is it 70-30 or something like that? Yeah, 70-30.
Ms. Tidwell.
I guess I would just mention a couple, I guess it's been a couple of weeks now, the firefighter graduation of the new recruits. That was great to go to and see that we did actually hire people and they've gotten through their training and out on the road now. And I want to thank everyone for passing the paramedic bonus. I too was kind of on the fence with that, but the way I see it is even if we get one, I mean, it'll be kind of interesting to see now because we don't have any yet. And now this will go out. Maybe it will make a big difference. You know, if we were to get five next week, maybe that is why. It's going to save us money from sending people off to training in the lower 48. So I'm pretty excited, even if we get one. But I also think, even if we only get one, I think that we will get our five. And I'm excited to see them go through training and be finally fully staffed. And other than that, it's golden days. I went to the kickoff, which I can't believe we're at that point of summer already. Like it is golden days. We're in it, and the parade will be this upcoming weekend. Just a reminder, in case somebody else didn't notice we were there yet. Yeah.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, after Mr. Ringshead's accident over at his house a couple of weeks ago, we were invited to the district attorney's office, and we sat down with the assistant district attorney and the district attorney and the person that was in charge of John's case. And so most of the conversation was concerning John's, you know, trial or what's he want to do with this person. But the second of all, the other thing that John and I wanted to kind of address the district attorney is, how do we prevent this from happening? A senior that's in his own yard being attacked brutally. And we didn't come up with any conclusions or answers, but at least I want to put that thought in everybody's head that this shouldn't happen. It should never happen in Fairbanks, Alaska. And so I want to put everybody put your thinking caps on, and let's try to come up with a remedy on that.
Ms. Ringstead.
Let me follow up on that. You know, before I got here, I was driving back in from the lake and talking to one of my daughters, and I told her it's a very weird place to be when you're sitting there making the choice, do I kill him? And I chose not to. That's what it boils down to. You know, I think the discussions were good. There's things that we specifically asked, what do you in your line of work think we should do? And ask them to give us suggestions and specifics. Likewise, we'll have to talk with the Department of Law, the state court system. So, I mean, everybody's got a piece, and that's what they tell us. We had some discussion with our police chief and deputy, and the same thing. They have a role, but it's nobody is going to fix this by themselves. But we need to be creative and cooperative to try and make a better deal here and make it so people are safe again in town. So it's not going to happen overnight, but if anybody's got suggestions, we're willing to sit and listen and try and figure out how to make it better.
Ms. Therrien.
Just on that note, I went to Chamber of Commerce that afternoon and spoke with Joe Dallaire, and he said he's going to come and do some presentations to us in the near future. And I also talked to the Attorney General about it as well, and he was interested in working on it as well.
In this, Mr. Mayor, the district attorney told us that he had been convicted 44 times already.
I've got a couple things too. The six P's in life, proper preparation prevents pitiful performance. Therefore, at our next meeting, Mr. Cotter, I would like from you a presentation on our equipment status for the upcoming plowing season. And Ms. Bell, I would like from you a report on our balances for temporary labor where we're at. And I want to congratulate Mr. Cotter. As usual, his overtime was 1% of his budget last month. But you can do better. That's what my dad always told me. Now, also, on Saturday is the downtown Golden Days Fair, whatever you want to call it. We're going to be opening up the Polaris building site from 9 o'clock to 5 p.m., 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we're going to have, I'm going to invite all the past and present Polaris Working Group members to come down to take a look at it. It's not the Polaris building site anymore. It's the Polaris building site. It's not the Polaris building anymore. And so we're going to have the contractor down there. Basically, it's an open house for everyone to come down. We're going to have a couple sledgehammers, and for a donation to the food bank, you can take a whack at the final retaining walls, and there's some rubble there. You can take the non-contaminated rubble, but if there's paint on the rubble, you can't take the painted rubble. So, but, you know, there comes a time to say goodbye, and I thought,
before they break into the basement. This is a perfect time to say goodbye. So hope to see you all down there. Yes.
You had talked once upon a time about doing some sort of, I want to say an event, but it was to do a thank you for Lisa Murkowski, and I don't know if that is a thing
It happened so fast, I wanted to have it like, they have an August recess.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted it in August with one floor there or something like that, but it's gone so fast that it's just not available. So I've let them know and want to do something for that, that I will do. That. Well, we will do something for on behalf of the city of Fairbanks. And that's it for me. Yes, Ms. Therrien.
I used to go to those Polaris working groups, and
yeah.
I'd like to be invited again when
yeah.
they start coming up. I haven't heard.
We have to be careful. Open Meetings Act. Yeah. Yeah. And
well, we were just on Zoom as opposed to
yeah. a violation. I know. Anyway, Madam Clerk.
For my report this evening, I'll just say that candidate filing for the city opens tomorrow, July 15th at 8 a.m. and will run through July 29th at 5 p.m. And just on Ms. Therrien's question about budget, the council's travel budget is sitting, of the $5,000, we've spent $2,700 odd dollars. So there's about $2,200 left. And we don't yet know what the cost of sending newly electeds might be after the election. That's all I have. Does the city attorney or Mr. Ewers have anything to report?
Oh, I'd like to say it's just delightful to be back. I'd like to say that, but it wouldn't be true.
A false positive. Yes. Yes.
I'd like to share with everybody that this Thursday is going to be another downtown market at
Plaza.
That's right. So if anybody's interested, it was really a great event last time, two months ago. And I would suggest anybody who hasn't done it, go have a peek. It's quite well done. Thank you.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. Second. Seeing no opposition, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.